the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with our very good friends at ESFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell the bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
ESA Feel White Rum, the best shot of the day.
Well, that's a new one to me there at the end. Gentleman with a very big, powerful voice like the English. 267 for three, and the West Indies are struggling on 87 for four. And my golly, this is not looking good at all for the West Indies. Could not defend, 225 runs are, in Grenada. And now they are in trouble, England. Looks like pigeon peas, as you say in Caribbean parlance. 267 for three, and the West Indies are 87 for four. Without any further ado, let's go straight to the ground and talk to my very good friend, Vinod Mamchan. Hello, Vinod, how are you?
I'm good. You know, you have been greeted here with a boundary.
Yeah.
The West Indies, as you said before, the 87, and that was just after the power play. We are ahead of England at this point, but they have lost 4 wickets. England was 68 without loss.
Now tell me, Vinod, what happened earlier? The West Indies won the toss, they chose the field, and carnage, 267 for 3. Tell me about that, Vinod.
Well, in the end, it would have looked as if it was the wrong decision, but no. There was rain about just about 15 minutes before the start. The covers were on as well. So winning the toss, you know, the West Indies, they normally prefer to chase anyway. But with rain about, Andrew, you know, the better decision will be to chase. However, the gods held and no rain came. A lovely rainbow appeared, though. And England and their fans here really enjoyed the ball beating. Now, the West Indies, they're firing back at the moment. They've now reached 100, and this is over number 7. So, Payne Rutherford, who was struck for 3 successive sixes in a lone over at the bowl. He is now leading a bit of a fight back. Puran Leon has 39 of 14 deliveries as well.
I see. So let's come back to the England innings. Phil Salt, 119 from this 57 balls, as many as 10 sixes and 7 fours. How do you rate the performance of Mr. Salt, Vinod?
No, it was a very good performance there, Andrew. And, you know, Mr. Salt would have gotten his grounding in Barbados.
Yes.
Anyone who gets their grounding in Barbados, they should be well off. And he showed that today.
Yes, he batted well.
And
Butler got 55 from just 29 balls. So they had a very good start of 117.
Yeah, this track, though, it's you know, it's tailor-made for batting. The ground is not the biggest in the world. So, you know, it's... You can't just rule the West Indies out at this point in time, just yet, 102 for 4 after 7. So, I still think, you never know, the West Indies bad beat. The fans here, they're believing. It's not a packed stadium by any means, but they're believing, and who knows what can happen. If not, I'm sure that on Thursday, this ground will be packed.
I see. Now, in terms of the those there, because there was some talk, there's a gentleman that you know very well was trying to G up people, so to speak, to boycott because of Mr. Bravo. Did that materialize?
No, definitely. The people here in Trinidad and Tobago, they don't normally take those things seriously.
Right.
They might have been disappointed that he was not included in the 50-over team, but no way. They're going to come out. Once there's cricket, they're going to come out. No one is going to stop that.
I see. So in terms of the crowd, if you had to put a number there, how many do you think you've got there at the ground, Vinod?
I'd say about 10,000.
10,000? That's a lot. And what's the capacity of the stadium?
18,000.
18,000. Mm. Yeah. I see. Just before you go, Vinod, in terms of the construct of the West Indies side, Matthew Ford coming to the side, they picked O'Shane Thomas. Well, he didn't make it. Were you surprised by the final 11, Vinod?
Not at all. I think that Ford was a good choice. Ford normally seems to bowl wrong, and in the conditions that were presented early on today, it could have favored him. But as you know, Andrew, in T20 cricket, they go after every delivery, and Ford's 40 will be putting the ball up to get it to swing. Mm-hmm. And that's the scene, of course. Obviously, that didn't work. Ford was able to advance down the track. On many occasions, Ford called for an up to the stump. Because Salt was advancing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was a bad decision to play him in the end.
I see. Well, Vinod, stay with us because we're going to come back to you a little bit later on, of course, to get another report. But so what's the West Indies score there now, Vinod?
It's 105 for 4 in over number 8.
And your prediction?
I think it's going to be closer than you think.
I like that, Vinod. Thank you very much indeed. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and enjoy your Christmas as well. I know you're a big Christmas man. Lots of ham and turkey, I'm told.
In that order.
In that order. All right, Vinod. All right. We got it. Our esteemed panel, of course, Dr. Andrew Ford is with us as well. Basil Butcher Jr. is joined. David Brooks, we've got to get an English flavor. And, of course, we've got Roland Holder. I know that Philo Wallace is in Barbados. He hasn't logged on as yet, so we hope that we can certainly, hear from Philo. Let's go to Roland Holder of Operations. Roland, how are you? Happy Christmas to you, my friend.
Season's greetings to you and your listeners, Andrew. Good night.
Good night. All right. A big task for the West Indies to win this one, Roland. Roland?
Yes, it is a big task. Just made a lot more difficult with the West Indies losing their captain, Rob Manpower. Maybe an uphill battle from here, but there's still some fight left in the team, I would imagine. So eight overs completed. Still some work to be done for the West Indies, I would say.
I see. Well, I don't know if you were in Trinidad. Vinod was saying about 10,000. Can you? Does that figure appear to be right to you? Said 10,000.
The last count that I would have received would have been closer to 7,000 persons.
Or closer to 7.
But that was. That was maybe an hour before the start of play. That was the last count I would have received with tickets sold.
Mm. You said closer to what, 7 you said, or 6?
Yes, 7.
Mm. 7, okay. So Vinod is a bit off then. Would you agree? Roland?
Well, I would say that I have the advantage where I actually see what tickets are out. So,
okay.
those are the figures that I will be seeing.
Fair enough. Are you in Trinidad or are you in Antigua? Roland, where are you? Okay. Let's hope that everything settles down in terms of the internet.
Sorry, I'm here now, Andrew. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Where are you?
Yeah,
Are you in Trinidad? Just before we go and get a comment, good to see my good friend Philo Wallace join us. A little bit of a scare there with a murder close to the hotel.
What is close to the hotel, Andrew?
So I mean, the reports that I got then in the media were incorrect? Roland?
Sorry, Andrew, my query was, what would you consider close to the hotel?
No. Okay, then, but let me ask the question.
There was a murder around the vicinity of the hotel.
Okay, yes. but not necessarily close.
my question to you, Andrew, is what you consider close. What I consider close might not be what you consider close.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I was
so
just...
I recognize you are quoting close.
Well, but no, but I mean, the media in Trinidad carries stories and they said it was close to the hotel. But we wouldn't fight over that, Roland. Not at all. All right, so but things generally have gone well. We've just got one more match to play. In terms of organization, any challenges, Roland?
Things have gone pretty well. Everything, I wouldn't say seamlessly, but things have gone pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
There's always the unexpected that crops up, but then the team on hand was able to deal with those effectively. So everything has gone relatively well for this tour.
All right. Well, you stay with us, Roland. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Let's go on and welcome Philo Wallace. Philo, I understand that you're back home. Is that true, Philo?
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Good evening to your guests. Yes, Andrew, I'm back home for a couple of weeks.
It's always
good to have sunshine, but it was pretty much rain, but showers are a blessing. And say good evening as well to Sheila Hart. We have to go and see my good friend.
Yes.
Heaven Boogie Bird. He has some friends in London.
Yes.
Who are here on holiday, actually. I can't remember their names, but they listen to your program,
yes,
Andrew.
Yes, wonderful.
And I told the gentleman he should try to call in.
Yes.
And get in. Get the British perspective on the series.
I'd be happy. Well, David Brooks, your good friend, is going to join us, but we'd certainly love to have him. Philo, what has gone wrong? The last game in Grenada, we were taken to the cleaners. Couldn't defend, 23-24. And now, today, 267-3. Can you explain this to us, Philo Wallace?
All the balance have shifted, Andrew.
Mm.
I was very impressed with the surface for the second T20 game in Grenada, which would have been the third official game. I thought the surface for the third T20 was better than the first. And we saw what the West Indians had to offer when they batted, and then obviously the England batters relished the opportunity to battle on a very placid and a weak West Indies attack and come up with a victory. So batted wonderfully well to relish his first T20 100, and to bat through the innings, which, you know, was commendable. We saw Brandon King and something similar, but he didn't go to 100. Phil saw about 100. And then, you know, Ned had always spoken about Harry Brook. He's a jewel, Andrew.
He's a jewel.
He's going to be the jewel in the English crown in all three formats.
Mm.
He's unfazed. He's simple and he hits the ball with a lot of power. And he showed what he can do. You know, he just went and he stretched it all about again. Got deaf bowling is a lot to desire. I thought our bowlers bowl a lot of weak balls.
Mm.
And then too many light deliveries. Then we saw a number of our bowlers doing variations quite early.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a bowler, you have to hit line and length hard. Mm-hmm. I asked Andy Roberts, why bowlers cannot bowl four decent deliveries, bowling hard length, mm-hmm. that hard length that needs to happen. But they try too many things, and then they get so caught up in getting latches, they lose focus, and then they all went pay a shame. And even today, Andrew, you know, we saw what happened today again at the Bella Cricket Academy. You know, they got off the rollicking start, and a massive total is going to take a Herculean back and effort to really get over the total this evening. But again, we're seeing the momentum shifting from the West Indies to England. Now, obviously, we have to find somewhere to wrestle it back. I don't know how they're going to do it. We have to wrestle it back. They've included Johnson Charles in the squad, but he's not playing.
Mm-hmm.
So it just baffles me to some of the selections and what is really happening.
Were you surprised that Charles was selected, Philo? Were you surprised that Charles was selected?
No, Andrew, because a couple of months ago I said on this program, don't be surprised if Johnson Charles is in our T20 second. He didn't come in for the first three, but he's in for the last two.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my thing, Andrew. He's not playing today. But if he does get an opportunity to play and he does anything substantial, then there's a World Cup for to pick.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the problems for me are going to lie. Because, you know, we keep talking about, well, for some players, stats and age is a big problem. For others, stats and players don't exist. So it's going to be very interesting to see the squad that they pick, the selectors pick for the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Now, Charles has come in to replace Hetmer. And Hetmer has done himself no favours. He's been struggling from the 50 over the ODI series. The lead selector said that they were concerned with Hetmer's form.
Mm-hmm.
So to make a decision to select him was a big decision. And it turned out to be the wrong decision. They had to leave him out for the final two T20 games.
Mm-hmm.
Azaris Joseph have got us in rest. But is it surprising that Johnson Charles has got back into a setup? But I'm not surprised by anything the selectors do. They will tell you it's the best available 15. It's amazing that every squad is the best available 15. There are no other players that can get in, but these guys are the best available 15. We just saw Otley in the ODI series not given a play at 33.
No.
But we go to Australia in the new year for a white ball series. Is he going to be too old then to play?
Possibly. That month will make him old. All right, fellows, stay with us.
You better believe it, Andrew. Yeah. So, our selections are a little baffling.
Yeah, they are indeed. In fact, we have to put Desmond Haynes and this selection panel under the microscope very, very soon. Maybe next week, because the reality is that I think they're all over the place like Punka. All right, we're going to pause for business calls. When we come back, we're going to get a reaction from Basil Butcher and, of course, David Brooks and my very good friend, Dr. Andrew Ford, who was very much in the company of the president, drinking some big drinks, I'm told, when the games were actually played in Barbados in big company with Dr. Shallow. All right, Mason and Guest, brought in association with our very good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it down, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
ESA Field White Rum. The best shot of the day.
Well, that one has got me the best shot of the day. What a booming voice from that gentleman. I need to meet him. Now, let's go to Basil Butcher. Basil, could you explain this carnage? What's going on there, Basil? You're close to the action. This game being watched by 10,000 or more.
I think England... we put jet fluid into the England's tank after coming back and overhauling 222 the other day. The confidence that they would have had coming into this game, and they just picked up from where they left off in Grenada today. And in what was incredible today is that despite the couple wickets that fell for them, each batter that came in, the momentum never stopped.
Right.
They kept piling it on. And that was the part that was really heartening from an English point of view to see. And I think something like with Moti, I just want to talk about Moti for a quick second.
Sure.
I think because I don't think the English team for the most part had ever seen Moti before. And one thing, if you notice in today's era, when you're playing against a new batter or bowler, you may not hit the straps right away. And I think these English batters have finally got the measure of Moti.
Okay.
And they played some incredible shots off of him today. That early in the series, Moti just had them locked down. But today, they had the measure of him. Mm. And he looked like a regular bowler, whereas... the other left arm spinner at times, I thought Hussein was bowling. Well, he probably understands how to bowl in Trinidad being his home pitch, but he bowled really well. Despite it would show he gave up 40-something runs. But when a team scores 267 on you, 44 runs don't seem like plenty. You know, that seems like a decent day today. Mm. But our bowling still remains... really, really iffy, Andrew. It's really iffy, and that's going to be something to look at going forward.
Were you surprised before we got to go to Dr. Ford and get a reaction from David Brooks? Were you surprised that Johnson Charles was recalled to the side and Hetmar was left out?
I'm going to say this. I found it really interesting that Hetmyer got let go out of the squad. And I've been racking my brain around to look at this from a purely cricketing perspective to hear the rationalization. And I was telling people, look, I don't think Hetmyer is going to play another game in this series, because Rutherford in the game in Grenada, he made 29 and 17. And even if he had failed today, they're not going to drop Rutherford after one failure, which would mean Hetmyer is not going to play, right? So I could understand that from a cricketing perspective. And then on the flip side, we got Myers going back to his normal ways, make a score in the first game, and then just sliding down the track as the series go on. So bringing Johnson Charles back in the fold could be a message to Myers. Look, you got to be a little more consistent in with your batting by bringing Johnson Charles back in. But then again, as Philo said earlier, Johnson Charles was just recently dropped after playing against India for very, very poor. Mm. And it's not like he lit up the CPL following that. So then the question you got to ask, on what merit was Johnson Charles recalled to the team? You hear a lot of people talking of calling like Athanase, could have brought a youngster like Athanase into the fold rather than revert back to Johnson Charles. And as Philo said earlier about the seemingly inconsistency of the selectors, where they talked about age with Bravo, and we brought back two 35, 36-year-old guys into the T20 team, and T20 cricket is a little bit more dynamic than 50-over cricket. So those are some questions. I would really love to hear the rationalization from either the coach or the lead selector for the movement of the two players.
Mm. Dr. Ford, your reaction to all this?
Hi, good night to the panel and the listeners. You know, the good thing is that the series has been competitive. The white ball series has been competitive. But that's the silver lining here. The second thing is, I don't think we should concentrate on trying to win. I think we should concentrate on trying to find out what each member of the squad can do. So I believe the squad should change and be varied so that we could assess each player. Number three, I don't believe that players who are unfit palpably, you know, when you just look at them and see what they can do, I don't think that they should be playing cricket at this level. So unless they're performing out of their skin. I mean, we've seen the England spinners do very well, and Ahmed may not be the fittest guy, but Rashid and Ahmed have been doing very well. Well, you know, we have Alzari Joseph doing well, and Russell and Holder chipping in, and you know, you mentioned Moti. Moti was very economical, but not as penetrative, and Hussein was doing okay. But in white ball cricket, especially T20 cricket, the bowlers are going to be pasted all over the place, and that's, you know, it comes down to batting. And the good thing is that the West Indians have batted well in all the matches, bar this one. I am glad that they're trying the bas ball today so that they can get it out of their system, because I still don't think that playing even T20 cricket, you have to be, you know, going with this approach, because there's too much swiping in this innings. And, you know, we mentioned Mayers, who has been culpable and really not keeping his shape and not doing justice to his talent. And that's something that bugs me. I think we should be more measured. We should try to pierce the field. Some balls can be hit for four instead of being hit for six. You've seen Rutherford do that a few times. They're balls that needed to be punished, but, you know, picking out fielders exactly. But I think we have been better at running and getting the singles. We should always keep that in our cricket, no matter what the score is, and we should reassess every five overs and try to go for scores in sensible ways rather than coming out and everybody just swinging for the hills from ball one. And that's what we've seen in this inning. So I hope that we can expunge and get that out of our systems. But all in all, it hasn't been bad. Yes, I do have an issue with bringing back players who are unfit and who are older and who haven't done well and who haven't established themselves. I have no problem with an older player who's consistent and plays and always keeps his place and performs, even if he may be older or unfit. But I don't believe that individuals who have sporadic entrances and exits from a team need to be recalled over and over, because we know that that's recycling. But, you know, there are issues with the team. Sometimes people are available, sometimes people aren't available. And, you know, sometimes we never get the squads that we want. So that will compound what the selectors are trying to do, and sometimes may lead us to leaning on experience or or maybe the unfit experience or older player. So, you know, we have issues. It's really economics in the long run, and a lot of our teams will depend on the economics of what's happening in franchise cricket. But I've been heartened by what I've seen. I know I had my issues with the coach that was selected initially, mm-hmm. but I must say that I am pleased with the approach of the team, and I've seen the improvement in the batting and trying to get singles. So I think I've seen some development, and I'm pretty heartened, you know, with heartened. How things have gone so far.
You're heartened. That's a big word, Doc. You're heartened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am a big guy, and big words sometimes, complicated big words.
Well,
what I mean is, usually
I think,
in a T20 series,
I hope that you'd be a little bit more measured, really.
In a T20 series, Andrew, we'd be bundled out.
Yes.
In four matches, I think we would have been bundled out for a really low score
right.
at some point
mm.
before now. This basketball approach today is atypical and not something that can be supported. So failure for this is important, an important lesson, which I'm happy that we will be able to learn.
Right.
But if we keep to the approach that we used earlier and try to use the incentives that we use for the white ball, I think we'd be better and consistently make the scores, you know, the 170s and up that we've done. In our slower pitch, on our slower pitches.
Right. It's 142 for 7 now. 11 overs gone. So that rate is good, but you're losing wickets. Yes. King of Duck, Mears 12, Poran 39, Sheehope 16, Rudover 36, Powell 4, Russell 21 on top. Jason Holder, Duck. Oh my golly. Come on, get some runs, Jason. Akil Hossain not out 8 with Matthew Ford and Goodish Moti to come. So on the evidence of what we've seen, they need 126 from 54 balls, but the problem is that they've only got 3 wickets in hand, so we're calling that game for England. David Brooks, your smile is as broad as Taruba. How are you, my friend David?
Yes, good evening, Andrew. Good evening to all your guests. So we certainly enjoyed listening to Philo during the ODI series. We heard him loud and clear here on Talk Sport in the UK. And it was a great ODI series, and you have to congratulate West Indies on pulling off that series victory. So, obviously, everyone's going to be chipping in with their criticism, but, yeah, a lot of positives for West Indies. I agree with, I think, what Basil was saying, that the turning point was probably England pulling off that victory in the second T20. It's given them the confidence given them the confidence to come back strongly, and England will probably be very happy with the return of form of Joss Butler, because, as you know, when Butler's out of form, it does impact on the whole team and impacts on his captaincy too. So a lot of question marks after that World Cup performance and the ODI series defeat, and this is going to be some consolation if England win this game, which looks like they will today, but it doesn't disguise there's still some lot of thinking to do in the England cap. I mean, Sam Curran's lost his position as the opening bowler. He's dropped down in the ranking order after being hit out of the attack by the West Indies. And a lot of very good performances from West Indies players. Moti, I agree, has been probably a surprise package as far as the England batsmen are concerned, and it's been good to see Rutherford stepping up as well. So a very entertaining series, and West Indies should be given credit for holding the edge on the series so far.
I see. So you're heartened as well, David?
heartened by both teams. It's been a very entertaining series, Andrew.
All right. No. Let's come back to you, Philo. When you do an assessment of the West Indies in the T20 so far, I want you to let's look at the games that have been played, the positives and the negatives, Philo.
Well, as you obviously, the positives, when you look at the T20 series, the first game in Barbados, we won that hands down. The collectives, we play as a collective unit. We've pushed England back in our fielding was was exemplar. You know, we took all the chances. Look a different unit. The batters look more assertive. Play a lot of shots. I thought that, you know, we looked like a unit moving forward. We moved to Grenada on a slower surface, and we got the better of England in the second T20. On that slower surface, obviously the English batters could not adjust, but our batters again batted well. The bowlers bowled well. We saw Moti bowling fantastic and really winning the game for us. Then in the third T20 in Grenada, we saw some cracks opening. Our batters, we keep losing those wickets at the top. We didn't really have a good partnership. And again, you know, this Brandon King, Kyle Mears partnership, sporadic in really getting a good start. But then it was all held together by King, and then the guys came into the back end. But our bowlers started to waver, Andrew. Once the Englishmen got off to a decent start with Salt and Butler, we had more answers. And they got the measure of our slow bowlers. And again, we played five bowlers in Grenada. Although we had Mears and Rutherford, it did not bowl. Mm-hmm. Rahman Powell has resigned himself to be a finisher. And I don't know why he wants to be a finisher. I believe he should be a bowler, a batter who can bowl a few overs in the middle, but he doesn't bowl. He's been picked up by an IPL franchise, and I commend him, Alzari Joseph. Congratulations to them. But again, we're not seeing that bit more from Rahman Powell. I believe that Rahman Powell gets into bowling again, he's going to be a bigger asset for West Indies cricket and also for the IPL. So because our bowlers, I've been playing five bowlers, and these guys don't want to bowl or are not asked to bowl, we find ourselves struggling. And now it's Aruba, Andrew, the same story as in Grenada. Our bowlers not being able to peg the English batters down, they've gone off the walloping start. And we seem not to be, our captain seems to have lost the aptitude and that application that we saw where he got his bowling combinations right. He hasn't gotten the right in Grenada in the third or T20 and the fourth in Trinidad. I find that they're starting to lose shape. And it's crucial that I know Dr. Ford said he's heartened. But there's a World Cup coming up, and I'm not really heartened from what I'm seeing. I'm certainly not heartened because we do not have more definitive roles. You cannot tell me that you've just brought back Johnson Taz and Kyle Mears and Brandon King are still okay. He's 35 years old.
Yes.
What is the program? What is the process going forward? So I am not heartened by a lot of things that I'm seeing here. We are still looking and feeling for what we want going into the T20 World Cup. I'm not seeing a lot. Our fielding has improved, Andrew, but our bowling is lacking. We cannot play T20 cricket with five bowlers. We don't have five quality bowlers.
No, we don't. We don't.
It's surprising to me that our selection panel is allowing our coach and the captain to play five bowlers in a T20 11 cricket. We don't have five proper bowlers. We do not. And that is going to be a problem going forward. Today they tried to do something and it did not work because the guys are not accustomed bowling. They got to get guys into the rhythm of bowling and understand what they bowl and how to bowl, and I'm not seeing it. And it is going to be trouble moving into that T20 World Cup. I mean, we still have to pick a squad. I don't know if we have a lot to choose from.
All right. We're going to pause for business cause. I agree with you, Philo, because you can't pick Johnson Charles and don't play him. I mean, Johnson Charles is not a rookie. If you put Johnson Charles, you know, in a squad, you play him or you don't pick him at all. I just don't understand that. And, you know, I just think the selectors are all over the place. That there's no clear policy. You know, the whole situation with Bravo, you had Otley in the side. You bring back Russell in the side. You bring back Johnson Charles. Where are they going with this? Anyhow, when we come back, I also want to spend some time in terms of the IPL. We note with interest that Mitchell Starc has really gone for a lot. We also are finding out that some West Indian cricketers didn't make it. Jason Holder didn't. And it's good to see that Shea Hope is very much a part of this, going for just about $100,000. Mason and Guest, brought in association with the very good friends of ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
ESA Field White Rum, the best shot of the day.
All right, let's open the lines 441790. Let's go to Barry Wilkinson, who's been monitoring very closely the picks in the IPL. Hello, Barry, how are you?
A pleasure. Good afternoon to you and to all of your listeners.
Good. All right. Talk to us. We note that your favorite cricketer, Stark, has made it. We see also as well, Hope is getting the action. And of course, Joseph. I mean, he's really gone for a lot. Did that surprise you? Let's start with Stark.
Well, the first thing, Andrew, you have to recognize is that the IPL today had two records in one day, because Pat Cummins was bought for a record $2.4 million by the Sunrisers Hyderabad.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the previous record held would have been Sam Curran. So when Pat Cummins was bought for 2.4, it became a record for about half an hour.
Right.
And then after, Mitchell Stark was bought for $2.9 million, which is the highest ever in the history of the Indian Premier League since it started in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
The Kolkata Knight Riders. So there were kind of two records in one day. It has surprised me, but if you look at the pattern of IPL, how they pick their players over the last 6-7 years, anytime there's a World Cup, even if it's a 50-over World Cup,
mm-hmm.
you find that the IPL owners usually pick on form as to who is doing the best for their international team. And I think that's why Stark and Cummins would have gotten those big picks for $2.9 and $2.4 million respectively. So it hasn't really surprised me, because the IPL owners have gone true to form, and they used up the entire purse that they had to pick their top players.
I see. Let's turn our attention to the West Indians. We note that Alzari Joseph is in the big money.
Yeah, Alzari Joseph made his highest ever IPL pick, $1.3 million. He's gone to the Royal, his highest ever. I think previously he would have gone for like just 250,000. So he's now picked up $1 million more than what he would have gone for previously. It's a very, very high rating for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he should feel extremely happy about that. Of course, he's still not the highest paid player for the West Indies at the IPL. Andre Russell and Nicholas Buran are still getting $1.9 million having been retained for their respective franchises. But to still come in and get $1.3 million after the West Indians have not been given a massive look-in, I think it augurs well and speaks highly for Alzari Joseph, who captained the Leeward Islands well in the 50-over. And also is now the vice captain of the West Indies, so it's a good break for him. Let's see if he will get a lot of play in the 11, and that will be able for him to keep the most of the money. Because you know, Andrew, you have to play the majority of the matches to get the money that you're bought for.
That is true. That is very true.
Even though, you're bought for $1.3 million, if you only play like about 7 or 8 games, you don't get the money.
No, no.
You have to play the majority of games. I think it's about 70% or 75% to get that money of $1.3 million. So I believe also that's why the owners did not go for a lot of England players, because England notified the majority of their players that are on contract that they would not be playing a full IPL season.
Right, that is very true. That's significant.
That's why the owners didn't go a lot for the England players.
Mm-hmm, I see. So we're going to get a reaction, of course, from Philo in relation to Joseph and of course, Basil Butcher and the rest of the band.
I can also give you, Andrew, let me also just tell you the West Indian players who are at the IPL this year. Sheho, first ever IPL, he went for $90,000. He was one of the last buys of the day.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the Delhi Capitals, but I don't know how much play he will get, because Rishabh Pant is back.
Right.
You also have Tristan Stubbs from South Africa. So it'll be very difficult for him to probably get into the 11, even though he might play as a batsman. Rutherford, 180,000. Still on the Rhine, 722,000. You also have, like I said, Russell, 1.9 million. I would have mentioned earlier, Romario Shepherd, $60,000 for the Mumbai Indians. Rodman Powell, he's a big one today. He went for $892,000.
Mm.
And he has gone to play for the Rajasthan Royals. Replacing Jason Holder, Shimron Hetmyer, $1 million. So those are the West Indians that will be playing at this year's IPL. The first time Holder hasn't played in a while. He would have made his debut in 2013 when he played, first of all, for Chennai Super Kings.
Right.
He played for Sunrisers twice. He played for KKR. He played for Lucknow. And he also played for Rajasthan. But the Holder has played in almost every IPL since 2013. He would have missed the 2018 and 2019 seasons, but he's been a consistent feature for IPL, and this is the first time that Jason Holder has gone on sold at the IPL auction.
Well, that's a big one. Let's get a reaction from you, Dr. Ford. Jason Holder not being sold. Are you surprised by that, Dr. Ford?
Well, no. I think Barry made the important comment that international pedigree performances result in large IPL contracts, and Jason hasn't really has diminished as a as an international player, and that is reflected in you know what's happened to him here. And you know sometimes there'll be some anomalies, as we can see. Sonnen Lorraine maintains his value even though his bowling has diminished quite a lot, and he's no longer a mystery guy. But that may be just historical. And Hetmyer, you know, I guess if you can make a quick 20, it may mean something. But you know, I am concerned about Jason as a player. He has a lot of ability, and I don't think he is performing at his optimum. I think since losing the captaincy, he's probably lost his focus and drive and desire. I think he's a guy that thrives on having responsibility, and his batting has really dropped off a great deal. And that's a concern for me, but I'm sure he'd have his reasons, and maybe he's trying his best. But it's good to see that hope has been recognized, because he is a guy that most people don't think is suited to cricket, and I'm glad that they've recognized that there is a role for a batsman here. And again, you see the performances of late in as a 50-over player, and also getting into the T20 team has given him that foot in the door.
I see. Your reaction, Basil, then we'll come to Philo and then David. No Jason Holder, does that surprise you, Basil?
Not really. I mean, I would agree with what Dr. Ford said. In terms of his international play in the white ball game, hasn't been that good in recent times. And if you also look in the IPL last year, he actually got dropped from the team because his performances were not that good. So it's not surprising at all to see that. And then look at Shea Hope getting picked up. I think he has gotten picked up because of his continued dominance in the 50-over white ball game, and gets a little look in. Because you look in India, there's a whole bunch of Shea Hopes that they have, you know, there. So, so you know, I guess that world-class performances in the 50-over is probably what tipped it over that he got a call to get a look in the IPL. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much he's going to get to play, you know, but at least he's in the race, as they would say.
Mm-hmm. Right? He's in the mix-up.
So that's good for him to get that experience in the so-called big T20 league. And I'm not surprised also that the dwindling numbers of West Indians in the IPL, because I don't think this generation of the T20 players that we have now is nothing like what we had in the recent generation with the Pollards, the Bravos, and the Gales, and those kinds of guys. I think some of our guys are on the coattails of them as West Indian players. So I think you're going to continue to see West Indian players, the dwindling of our players getting into the IPL.
I see. Philo, your reaction to, first of all, Jason Holder not being picked up. And I'm very concerned about his cricket as well. You note that he doesn't have, but he elected not to have a central contract with Cricket West Indies. What's going on with Holder, Philo?
I'm genuinely surprised that Jason was not picked up by an IPL franchise. And I say on the backdrop of he declined to play for Barbados in the Super 50. And then we saw it in the media. He was in India at Rajasthan Royals High Performance Center. I think Obey McCoy was also there with him. And he was boasting about how the facilities are so fantastic, and he's happy to be in another environment, holding his skills. Cricket West Indies sent out a media release saying that Jason Holder has opted to work on his white ball skills and focus on T20 and Test match cricket. And when you say all those things that you don't get a contract in IPL, you got to be surprised. And I believe Jason would have been surprised as well, because he's made a decision not to play, not to accept a West Indies cricket board contract, be a free agent on the market, and he's been not picked up by IPL, in which he's been playing for a little while. He's been disappointed in the IPL, yes, for the various franchises he has played for.
but not to be picked up in 2020 for the 2024 season thus far is a big surprise to me. And it only speaks volume to what the IPL franchises are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking for good names, Andrew.
Mm.
They're looking for world beaters and performers.
Mm.
At the end of the day, the IPL is a business for a lot of investors, a lot of sponsors, and they want the best.
Mm-hmm.
They want winners. And it's just unfortunate that Jason Holder has not really upped the ante in his game.
Mm-hmm.
I think his game has fallen off quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I keep saying, the more time he stays away from the game, the worse he becomes. And we keep seeing it. And I think that he needs to take a very serious look on what he wants. There's a test series about he's supposed to pick a squad to go off to Australia. And I think that if he's in that squad, he needs to really knuckle down and dig deep into the reserves and pull out all the stops and play good cricket.
Mm.
He's at the twilight of his career. He needs to put in those performances that can merit him something going down the road. Now, I commend guys like Mitchell Starc and Pat Cummins. They're up to those of the IPL. Mitchell Starc up to the IPL for 3 or 4 seasons to concentrate on red ball cricket. They won the World Cup, they won the World Test Championship, which to start with part of that, and then they got big bucks in the IPL. So here's a man who had a plan, and it worked. I think some of our cricketers need to understand that when you say you're not going to play a certain format,
mm-hmm.
the format that you really want to play, you've got to excel. You've got mm-hmm. to be dynamic.
Yes, no you're right. You have
to take breaks from certain formats and come back looking ordinary.
Mm.
And these are the things that I don't understand. And I beg the question, you know, the players, the coaches that work with them, and the influential people who are around them, that they don't see the importance of putting in those outstanding performances to capture the eye of the international franchises.
Mm, I see.
Andrew, I just want to add something quickly on this whole thing. I forgot to say, Alzarri Joseph, something I noted, the franchise that picked him up, one of the things they noted why they picked him up, because of his dead bowling skills.
Mm-hmm.
And we know for the West Indies team that we don't use Alzarri in that role, but others see that ability and skill.
That's a very good point you're making.
Serious money because of that, including because he bowls at a high pace. And we don't use him. We bowl in Holden Russell at over 19 and 20, and we got Alzarri Joseph in the 11.
Doesn't make sense. I find that interesting. Yeah, just before we go to David, I don't want to keep Barry too much longer. Barry, so overall, we talked about Hope. Powell certainly very much in there. Joseph, are you surprised by the decline in the numbers of West Indian cricketers and the influence is not there as it was before?
No, I'm not particularly surprised, Andrew. You look at the history of IPL, they pick on two things. One, the intrinsic value you have internationally,
right?
To how well you do consistently for that particular franchise year after year. That's why Russell and the Ryan have always been picked consistently, because they've performed, if not for West Indies, they perform for their IPL franchises, and that's why they've continued to be picked. But the IPL, you have to strike the iron when it's hot at the right time. It's unfortunate. The biggest surprise to me is that Phil Salt did not get a look in.
Oh,
I thought that based on how he's been batting, that he would have been picked up. But like I said, the reason why England players have been kind of ignored is because England did notify that they will be pulling their IPL players very early. And the only person that really got picked is Harry Brooks. A lot of other England players that would be playing perhaps red ball cricket have not really been given a look in at all. I just want to disagree with Ms. Basil, because if you look at Alzarri Joseph, you look at the World Cup qualifiers. Alzarri Joseph and Jason were the two death bowlers. You look at what's going on now. Alzarri bowled the death in the 50-over match. He also bowled the death in the T20. So he has been a death bowler for the West Indies. Perhaps not the last over bowler, but he has bowled at the death.
Mm.
So in that game, Andrew, remember when Nicholas Pooran, called for the review. It was the last wicket that fell against England.
Mm-hmm.
That was Joseph that was bowling.
Mm-hmm.
So he has bowled in the death. In fact, if you go back to all of the matches at the qualifiers in Zimbabwe when the West Indies played so poorly, it was Alzarri. And many felt that Alzarri should have bowled that infamous over that Holder bowled in the Super Over.
Right.
We lost to the Netherlands because he had bowled the last over. So, the history, Basil, Alzarri has been West Indies' death bowler.
All right. Just before you go, Barry, quickly, we note with interest that in the CPL, Antigua's back. The Hawks, Bills. Are you surprised by that?
Yeah, I am tremendously surprised by that news that Antigua have a franchise again. I go back to when they last played, I think it was 2016, and they did say at that particular stage that it was a non-profitable mission for cricket, and I don't think the government supported it back then. So I'm surprised as to what is the sudden interest to revive a franchise of Antigua. It means that you know you can also have another franchise because it now gives you a kind of imbalance in the sports. And it is my understanding that there could very well be another franchise that will pop up very soon to balance up the sports.
That's what I'm hearing. Yeah. I'm hearing there's going to be another one.
That would be the obvious thing. There's supposed to be another franchise that could very well, Andrew, be based out of the USA. You know that there's an American league starting. Has started already. There's another one starting.
Right.
And I think that the next CPL franchise might very well be a US-based franchise, is what my understanding is, to expand the cricket and expand the numbers of the Caribbean Premier League. So, look, there's a lot happening in the cricket, and I'm not really surprised at what's going on based on the fact that commercially T20 cricket has taken the game to another level. Unfortunately, it has kind of cluttered the game. But at the same time, you have to admit that a lot of players who might not necessarily have been playing in for their particular countries are still getting some work, which is very important.
Yeah, that's true. Well, by the way, gentlemen, the West Indies have lost the game.
I've got a question for Barry before he goes.
Yeah, sure. Just to let people know, 192.
The quick.
Just hold on, Doc. Well, 192 in 15 overs and 3 balls. So England, they won comfortably, as we would expect. I mean, it's got difficult to chase down 267. They won the game by 75. So it's 2-2. Yes, Doc. Question for Barry. Doc?
Yeah, Barry, I know the South African Betway T20 franchise is a kind of a developing type of franchise cricket. What do you think that will affect our tour to Australia? Will the selectors have some difficulties if people opt to go there? I'm not sure what the salaries will be like, but do you think that could interfere with selection?
I just missed the first part of your question. If you could just repeat it. I just missed that first part. I didn't hear what you said.
The South African franchise, I think, is in January.
Yeah.
And we're going to Australia in January. So do you think it will affect our ability to...
I don't think so. Being the red ball cricketers that are likely to play in that would not be likely to be interested in playing in that tournament. You also look at who is now selected by the West Indies in terms of their contracted players. They have to pick from those contracted players first. And the contracted players have no choice but to give West Indies their first priority.
Right.
So I don't think that will affect it at all. You expect players like Kyle Mayers, probably Jason, to rush to that kind of cricket. Jason is still going to play a lot of league cricket, so I don't think he'd be too bothered about not even playing the IPL, because based on what I'm seeing from Jason, I'm not quite sure that he has that interest to be highly competitive. I think he has an interest to be available to play, but not highly competitive. Look, there are five major leagues that he will be able to play next year. He's going to play in the PSL,
right.
He's going to play in the ILT20, he's going to play perhaps in that South Africa league, he'll play in the CPL, and he'll play in the tournament in our... So Jason will still very much be part and parcel of league cricket, just not the IPL, which is unfortunate. I don't know. The West Indies will play some games in between the IPL series, and he might feature in those and still have a crackerjack of a year and make just as much money. So I'm not quite sure Jason is too perturbed by that, to be quite honest.
I see. I'm not sure that Jason is going to play too much more red ball cricket. I don't think so, really. I don't think he's going to go to Australia. That's my view. I think he's just decided, no, look, let me be selected, let me be calculated, and make my money in white ball cricket. So I won't be surprised if he doesn't play the red ball game. But just before you go, Barry, are you surprised that the West Indies went back to Johnson Charles?
Andrew, not only am I surprised, I'm disappointed.
Ooh.
I mean, if you're saying to me that you're not picking Dan Bravo because at 34 he's not part and parcel of your plans going forward, is Johnson Charles part and parcel of a plan going forward? What plan is he part and parcel of?
Mm.
He has not performed for West Indies. He just got picked to play for West Indies, did not perform when given any opportunity. Why is he back there? And why is he back there playing at a time? I mean, yes, it might only be a couple of games, but why is he back there playing when you had other players who should deserve the opportunities to get the chance to go and play. The selectors, everyone by their thoughts. If you're saying that Bravo is too old and when he gets 38, he's not going to be playing, why are you doing that to Charles, who's 35 net in about 3 weeks? I think the selectors just did not want Darren Bravo for whatever reason. They should come out and say that. Don't hide behind assumptions or hide behind theories. It is clear now. In fact, it is clear now, and if Darren Bravo had a good lawyer, he could definitely claim that he has been shortchanged, and there can be some claim there for him.
Say that again, Barry, because we know you're a budding lawyer. I want you to repeat that. What are you saying, that he could take West Indies to court? Is that what you're saying, Darren?
I think that he has a justifiable claim now.
And that is based on what?
Based on the fact that the chairman of the selectors said that Darren Bravo was 34, and that by the time the next World Cup comes, he would have been 38, and therefore that was one of the reasons he's not part and parcel of the plan. But now you're still picking players who are older than him playing. Russell is 35. How long is he going to be playing for? Johnson just picked, he's 35. How long is he going to be playing for? So what really sidelined Darren Bravo? Is there a different plan for T20s and a different plan for 50 over? The selectors, in their rules and regulations and criteria, have it that performance, form, performance, fitness are the three massive parts of criteria.
Mm.
And Bravo, he, Andrew, passed those three criteria and rubrics he should have played.
Mm.
What criteria did Russell get picked to play? What criteria did Johnson Charles get picked to play? Was it form? Was it performance? What was it? He's 35 years old. So, you know, at the end of the day, you're not being consistent with your selection policy, and it is indeed something that's unfair.
So you're saying to me, Barry, and you know, we know that you're a top man in law, that you believe that Mr. Bravo would have a good case. Is that what you're saying? If he pursues it,
listen, the West Indies selection, the cricket West Indies has a selection policy,
right?
And their policy, which Philo knows well, he was part and parcel of putting together that criteria.
Mm.
That policy states that you're picked to play for West Indies on form, performance, and fitness.
Right.
That's the three main areas of the criteria. I believe it's section 4 of the criteria.
Mm.
So if a player is not, there's nothing in the criteria that speaks to age. Nothing. So if the selectors
are
consistent with what they are picking, then they have to state, what if this is something new that they are just bringing as a rule and a regulation? It is not fair to a cricketer. It is. There's also nothing in the regulations that state that if you have failed previously for West Indies, that you can't exercise that rule for about a good six, 7 years. Because he would have played, failed for West Indies, and got picked every year because they would have, he would have met the criteria to play. So, you know, that criteria really needs some altering and adjusting if they're to be consistent with it, or else they should just scrap it like what was done previously.
I think Dr. Ford has a reaction to you. Did I hear you, Dr. Ford, trying to interject at one stage?
Oh, well, I'm not a lawyer, but, I mean, just looking at it, from a logical standpoint, I could understand if Barry is saying that maybe there's an age discrimination claim there. The only difficulty is that there are a plethora of examples of other individuals that at a later age who did well and haven't played in all versions of cricket throughout the history of cricket West Indies. But as Barry had said, that even in the IPL, they look at performance and other things like marketability and other things. But he's talking about a player who no league or no white ball league in the world seems to be interested in. But he's comparing him with other people who are sought after by other leagues. So I could understand. There are no rules or regulations where
There are no rules and regulations where you're talking about where previously. This is a new rule and regulation criteria for West Indies cricket.
The president said there's no rule or regulation. All you're going on is an opinion of one of three selectors who said that individual wasn't selected because he would look at
the president said that there's no age.
But Barry, there can't be a rule if we saw other players being picked that are old. It obviously can't be a rule. You are just looking at one.
That's the point they're making. The point they're making is that the players are being picked by someone,
but there's no rule.
Say that again, Dr. Ford. Say that again, Dr. Ford, again, what you're saying?
There's no rule.
There's no rule.
There is no rule. You listen to what the selector said when a question was posed, and you have the head of the administrative arm of Cricket West Indies saying that there's no such rule. So what is the rule that you are referring to? Because if you're a head of administrative, there's no rule. You can't just pull a rule out of the air.
But Barry, are you pulling a rule out of the air?
No, of course not. Andrew, the Honorable Desmond Hayne.
Yes.
Set me.
The president disputed what he said is a rule, so his rule is dead.
No, I'm saying I have a copy of the criteria that he set me.
Okay.
He set me the criteria which Philo Wallace was part and parcel of. The point I'm making is that they have a criteria to follow.
And the criteria said you can't play if you're older?
No, it doesn't. That's the point.
What part of the criteria are you quoting, Barry?
Rule 4.
Tell me the part of the criteria that you're referring to.
The part I'm referring to is Rule 4. Rule 4 does not say anything about age. The selection policy has nothing to do with age. I told you it's form, performance, and fitness. Those are the three parts of the criteria. There's nothing in it that speaks to age.
So you're correct, Barry.
So what is the rule you're referring to?
Barry, you are correct. The selection policy for Cricket West is does not state anything about age, because we as a committee decided that our cricketers mature later than the other cricketers in the world, so we cannot use age as a criteria.
Dr. Ford does not understand that there's a policy.
And I believe
you should understand.
Cricket West Indies is not a policy.
Guys, we are not at variance, you know. We are not at variance. I am saying that Desmond Hayne, the former cricketer, who is the chairman of selectors, who answered a question off the cuff by a journalist. But you have the chief of Cricket West Indies coming out a day after and saying that there is no rule that says you cannot play based on age. So the fact that the chairman of selectors said something is trumped by the president saying that isn't the case. That's all that I'm saying. But we aren't at variance. I'm just saying that the higher authority rules all the time.
No. Hold on. The president made the chairman stand up and back him up by perhaps trying to make him look good. Because what the president was saying is that the chairman erred. That's what he was essentially saying.
Isn't that a walking back of what the chairman of selectors said, which is what you're basing your whole claim on? Something that was walked back?
Of course it is.
So something that's walked back isn't that's a straw man, though.
No, but what it is an error. It's a major error, and the president recognized it was an error, and that's what he came out and said. The Honorable Desmond Hayne, an error. Simple. So you have made my point. The president recognized.
We're making the same point, Barry. That's why I don't think we need to be energetic about making the same point. All that I'm saying is that once the president says that no rule exists, then we have to really look at, there are other intangibles that determine if a player is picked, and they haven't been ventilated, but the player hasn't been picked. And we have so many other examples of that happening throughout the history of West Indies cricket that we could discuss. The question is, does this case mean that there is a clear bias that can be borne out?
Hold on. The point I'm making to you is that's the whole point. There was no criteria before. That's the point I'm making. I'm saying that this president, he, along with Philo Wallace and others, put together the criteria, and now they're not following it. So the point I'm making is, why have it?
Just go back
to the days of when you had gut feelings about players and you pick who you wanted to pick. The president of Cricket West Indies in 2019 at a press conference said it was utterly ridiculous for Dave Cameron and his crew not to have a selection criteria because he thought it was unfair. And one of the main things he did when he got into power was to put this brilliant big selection criteria so players knew what they had to do to make a team. Philo, am I right or wrong?
Philo?
He is right. We know that he's right. But the thing is, when three men or four men or five men get together to choose 15 players, they will always be the outlier that you can make a significant argument for. But the question is, do those outliers justify some sort of legal recourse or discussion? The thing is that we'd be tied up in court in perpetuity in every cricketing nation in the world, because it's always going to happen. That's just what I'm saying. But you know, let's not belabor the point.
Yes.
I think we'd be going around in circles.
Yes.
But it was an interesting discussion.
It was an interesting discussion.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that finish away with the whole rules and regulations that you're going to pick teams as to how you're picking them now. Finish away with it.
Because right.
You're tricking players into thinking that they have a chance when they don't. I mean, you know they don't have a chance. So don't do it. It's not right.
It's not right.
I think we should just finish away with that.
Well, Barry, we want to thank you for coming on the show. Good to have you back. Are you going to be here for Christmas?
Yes, Andrew. Just a couple more weeks.
Okay, and everything is going well in Trinidad.
You promised me a Christmas ham, which I'm going to pass for tomorrow.
Well, I understand that VOB is they're giving hams. I'm told that.
You ain't getting any.
No, but they haven't given me any ham at all. In fact, you know, in 30 years, I've never been invited to a party here at VOB.
But Andrew, can you imagine that? The criteria is, Andrew,
they treat me badly here, don't they?
Check the criteria.
You don't make the staff party, Andrew.
No, I don't. No, man, they treat me badly. You know this. I understand that. Barry, you got a ham? Barry?
You mean if I purchase one?
I'm sorry, Andrew.
Did you get a ham from VOB?
I did indeed.
And he didn't even call me.
Oh, boy.
Terrible.
That's all. Pecking order is clear then.
Yeah, that's how they treat me. But it doesn't matter.
You didn't make the cut, Andrew.
Independence is the greatest of all human benefits, really. I'm not inspired by such. So don't be worried about it. It's a triviality, really. Is this going out?
All of it went out. I cut nothing. So everybody know that you are hamless.
Yes, I'm hamless. Indeed. Yes. So, Barry, I want to thank you for coming and talking to us. Make sure that you collect your ham from VOB. Have you collected it already?
No, I've collected it tomorrow.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Thanks for your contribution.
Thanks,
Andrew. All right. Tomorrow. When I get my ham, Dr. Ford, I'm gonna bring it for you because I know you're a ham man. I know you like to, you like ham without bone. All right. Can we pause for business calls and come back and continue our discussion? 4417 90. That's the line that we certainly will have in terms of your making your reaction, your calls, and of course David Brook. He's going to talk about Mitchell Starc and the big money these guys are getting. Let's pause for business calls. Mason and guests brought in association with the very good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it down, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASFE is the best shot of the day. Boy! Pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want. ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
ESA Field White Rum. The best shot of the day.
Is that your voice at the end there? Mr. Husband, the best shot of the day.
No. I do not squander my voice around it.
All right. So let's take a couple of calls. David Brook, we're going to come to you shortly. Just take this first call. Hello. Merry Christmas to you.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
How are you?
It's really night, though, so good night to you, sir.
We'll try good evening next time.
Oh, good evening.
Hello?
Yeah, good evening to you, sir.
Yeah, I want to call this spade as I see it.
Yes.
Put our heads in the sand. You are playing cricket with a bunch of people who are not fit.
They're not fit.
And not only that, I am very fed up when I hear people talking about age. If a guy is 80, 90, whatever he is, and he's performing,
right,
he should be played. Tell me that you can play some little fat babies who ain't in condition at all. Yes, thing is nonsense.
It's nonsense.
He's seeing the ball and he's performing.
Right.
And he's meeting the criteria the man should be playing.
Right, right.
So foolishness about age.
I see.
It's like the young that talking to you.
Yes.
Won't they say free, because I know what's sickness.
Victor, how old do you know?
I'll be 86 in a couple of
86 days. Years old. And what's your weight? Well, what's your weight, Victor?
What's my weight?
Mm.
I'm between 120 pounds.
And?
And that's good for me.
Okay, so you're 120 pounds.
I just come from making my trip. To shake out my legs for 2024.
Yes, and do you still train, Victor?
And I told him these guys are pregnant.
Oh, they're pregnant. Okay. No, Victor. I just stay on course. So you said that you're 86 now, right?
And a couple of.
Oh, in a couple of?
In a couple of days.
Okay, in a couple of days. All right. So, and obviously you eat very well. You're very selective about what you eat, Victor?
No, I am not just selective. I eat balanced meals.
Oh, you balance your meals.
This thing about diet is a very nonsense.
Mm.
I eat balanced meals.
Okay.
I don't know if I eat anything.
No, you shouldn't. I mean, that is pretty clear because you're only 120 pounds.
And I make sure that I burn my calories.
You burn your calories. Wonderful. All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us because we've got several calls backed up here and we want to take these calls. 4241790. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Season greetings to you.
How are you? Is this Velma?
Yes, please.
Oh, good. Nice to have you. I've been asking my friends in Bayfield about you, you know.
They don't really know me.
Yeah, because I asked my mother and she said, Velma.
I'm her first grand.
Okay. Who's first grand?
Yeah, but she used to live in St. George at one
time. Okay, I see.
You need to go to
Bayfield, Velma, because they need to see you in Bayfield.
Yeah, I got to do that.
Please.
What I already called you about.
Yeah, tell me.
I agree with Barry. Because the thing about her is, if it's not written,
right?
Yeah, the gentleman has his rights. You have a constitution there,
right?
And if I was him, I would fight for my rights. If I'm supposed to get a play in there, I would go to my attorney, and they would have to put me on that team.
Oh,
performing. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think Barry is right. I second Barry.
You second Barry?
Yeah, and I want Barry to. He sent me an email.
Oh, say that again?
I want Barry to send me an email. I have something to discuss with
him. Oh my golly. Is it a legal matter?
yes it is.
You hesitated, Velma. It may not be legal.
Matter.
Right. Well, I want to thank you for coming and talking to us, Mason and guests, and Merry Christmas.
What I want to say is that the Empire, you know, that's one of my teams.
Oh yes, they won. In fact, a little bit later on, we hope to catch up with Shaquille Cumberbatch to talk a little bit. They won the championship. Congratulations to them. They had a very strong ending to the season. They beat Carlton. They beat YMPC, and they nipped Wilde by 2 points. So congratulations to them.
But you know, I usually bat St. Catharines, but St. Catharines was.
Yes, well, we're not playing the cricket that we used to.
I was always there for Gariola, you know. I was a bit disappointed with Gariola.
Yes, they were up and down, very, very up and down the season, yeah.
Yeah, and I believe that I was feeling real good when the West Indian teams were winning, but I think.
So you were heartened like Dr. Fort?
Huh?
You were heartened like Dr. Fort?
Yeah, I want them to pull
the, right.
pull the act together,
right.
And do their business, you know me. And when they're picking the team, make sure that they have everyone in place and put them in the right position. Yeah, because I'm a West Indian, yeah? Mm-hmm. And I like my cricket bat. I was watching that thing from my grandson from 2.5 years old at Rubisco, because Frankie was my uncle.
Oh, yeah? I see.
So and I like cricket real bad. How you would like a ham cutter?
A ham cutter.
And I know that you can get your hand up on it.
Not from Stavacom.
Even if you don't get hit from the station.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So you do have.
Yeah, they treat me badly, man. All the time. All right.
Tell all the rest in St. Philip that I love them.
Right. All right. Thanks, Velma. Let's try and take a couple of calls. What time is it now? It's now 7:32 in the country. Let's try and take as many calls as possible. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hi. I got it, Andrew. How are you?
How are you?
I'm fine.
Yes.
You can remember, I asked you, Sandy, what you were going to do with the rest of the team at Yorkshire.
Yes, you did.
He didn't reply, but I didn't reply now.
Tell me.
What I see there on TV, the ball announcers. These cricket wrestling players don't understand the game of intended cricket. Just don't get why everybody. This man going, let me pick up his fingers on us. He's spreading. Everybody want to go over the top.
I agree. There's a lot of inconsistency. In fact, I've reached a stage now where I'm happy when they win, but if they don't, well, you know, honestly.
You guys think about what the team the Empire. Okay, the
match. The Empire.
That's what the match.
Okay.
I saw even the captain Powell. He saw his team in trouble. They can't go hit everything.
No, not at all. They got to be calculated in the batting. They're too inconsistent for me. I mean, it's a brilliant. I mean, they got the talent, and you'd expect them to, you know, win a game here or two. But generally, you know, one of the problems is that we're not consistent. We're not consistent at all.
And you don't get a heart attack.
Yes, they would. Yes. Thanks for your contribution. Let's sneak two more calls before we go to our good friend David Brook. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests. 7:34 in the country.
Good night, Miss.
Oh, is this Alvin?
Yeah, I called to wish you and your guest and the doc.
Yes, and Philo, of course.
Yeah, all of y'all, season greetings.
And to you as well.
I hope that everything works out well. And you, like you, and God, based the praise on your hand, and we ain't talking to politics, just let it stay there.
Oh, tell me. Is there resignation in your party? Because that's what I've been hearing.
In mine?
Yes. Dr. Ford tells me that there's going to be a big resignation.
Yeah. And the thing about it can be a big resignation very close to you.
Really? Tell me.
But listen to this.
Yes.
You see why I like test cricket and sometimes 50?
Yes.
I just can't get 20, you understand?
Okay.
Now, you got 267 runs to win.
Right.
A score that is so difficult to make. And everybody back the same way.
Yes.
Even hope.
Yes.
Who can come out there so that, to me, I'm battling with everybody if they get up.
Yes. No, I really agree with you, and I think that hope. I'm a little disappointed in the manner in which he's gotten out in this series, because that's not his role. You know, he's still going to bat someone to be getting out and playing those shots that the others are playing. And when you said even hope, I certainly agree with you on that.
You say, tell you that 2020 destroying wrestling for
him.
No hope, trying, because you got to study. Joseph get a contract for $1.3 million. You heard it?
We discussed it earlier. Mason and guests is always current, you know, sir.
So everybody is on the IPL in the Caribbean.
Yes.
And they forget the technique. The skill of cricket. If you bat normal, that fellow that is over for England here in the Swiper.
Which one? There are two people that open.
Not the captain, the other fellow.
Salt? Phil Salt?
Yeah.
He's a batsman.
And these fellas, they're, but you know, they're wrestling in the Series 3-2.
So your prediction then, Alvin, is that we're going to win the Series 3-2?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Thanks for your contribution. We're going to try and take some more calls. David, do you agree with that prediction? Do you think the West Indies, despite losing the last two games, do you think they can win it 3-2? I know that you're West Indian at heart. You're an Englishman with a West Indian heart. David?
Well, it's finely balanced. I think it's perfectly set up now, this series. I have to say, listening to the previous conversations, there can't be any team in the world or any cricket program in the world where selection is examined so forensically. And, coming off the back of a West Indian victory in the ODIs, I wonder what would happen if you lost that game. But no, I think that's... It's been a fine series, and there's plenty of good... When you're chasing a target of 268, I mean, really, you've got to go from the ball.
Oh, yes. There's no doubt about that, yes.
So I think some of the criticism may be a bit harsh. You could argue that England now have got the momentum and will certainly go into the last game favourites. But then they were favourites for every game in the ODI series and the first two in this T20 series too. So the bookies could be wrong.
Mm. Does it make a difference whether you bat or bowl first, David, in your view, or doesn't make a difference? Well, is there an advantage?
Prefer to chase, don't they? Yeah, I think it's very hard to call.
Right.
Rotherham Powell at the toss said that Badgley didn't need to ask him the question of what he was going to do. It was obvious what he was going to do. The West Indies preferred to chase, but it was just too many today, wasn't it? 268 is a very, very large
big, score. Big score. Anything. And the pitch was good for batting, David.
I think there were more sixes hit in this series than any other bilateral series, apparently.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting stat.
Interesting. 4341790, give us a call and participate. Can we take a call? We can. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, this is your time of the year, Randolph.
Yes.
Are you Rudolph?
Greetings to you and your panel and to those who would have gone during the year. I would hope that next year that it would be a brighter year for you.
Mm.
I must say, though, I couldn't resist in calling this evening to congratulate the home of champions, Empire,
Been
in the Premier League this year.
Mm-hmm.
I must say that they came from behind.
They did it, yes.
They came from behind, and I think one of the people that it's not the takeout part, and I thought that would have been.
That was a brilliant game, the derby. During that game, Spartan. They had 212 to win. They were 140 odd for one and lost the game.
Yeah.
Brilliant cricket by Empire.
And one of the great achievements I would think for Empire this year is that very few of the big boys played what we consider their big boys would have played
right.
in the tournament.
Right, I see.
Only Kevin would have played one or two matches, but that
right, yes. In fact, he didn't play towards the end. In fact, their captain Bradford is now playing in the T10 competition in Dominica. Kamari Boys captain. In fact, Shaquille Cumberbatch is supposed to towards the end of the program join us, so you can listen up for him.
Good, but Andrew, one of the things is that finishing on tonight is that in the new year, I would like us to stop using this word about batters.
Oh, batters.
Because batters, as far as I understand, the interpretation of it is, one is a criminal element, and the other one pertains to making cake. The batter from cake, and when you beat someone, you batter them. So therefore, they can't be batters, they are batsmen. Whatever you choose.
So what about women? What would you say about the women? What would you call them?
But whatever you choose.
No, you tell me. You said the batsmen, but what about women?
But when you're talking about a chairman.
Okay.
About a chairman.
Okay. Rather as a man or woman.
Man or woman.
Okay.
Right?
So you don't like batters. You don't like batter.
Batters. No, batters don't sound right. It sounds false. It sounds out of touch.
Basil, you agree with that? You agree with that, Basil?
No, I don't agree. Because, here in the United States, baseball is a batter.
Yes.
We know the English language you can have a word that has several meanings. And because of women's cricket, they try to make it genderless. So I think batter is fine because you're gonna say bats woman.
No,
I mean, that don't sound right, man.
No.
Because you often get a slip of the tongue by commentators when women are playing and they would refer to them as batsmen or batsmen.
Yes.
Right? So you got the bat, say batter, you're not gonna make a mistake. So I think there was a good move.
Mm.
But many people have been using the word batter for cricketer for cricketers for years.
Right.
But they just made it official.
Mm-hmm. They did in fact make it official. Thanks for your contribution, Randolph. Can we take a call? We can. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Good night. I'm so happy for this program. I ain't going to tell you nothing about cricket. I like to keep up the good work and the branchise that bring this day to the coverage on the weekend makes me happy.
Mm.
I love that. And I agree with the gentleman. They ain't no batters, this batsman.
Mm.
Bat for the women too much. Call them batsmen, and if the women want to be called bat lady, let them call bat.
Bat lady. Oh, my golly. That's a new one, Dr. Ford. Bat lady.
We don't knock it out of the ballpark. We get it out of the grounds or the over. Everything American. You say something wrong,
it's
the excuse of sorry. No, it's my bad.
Mm.
Stupidity. And that sounds so indifferent. It's my bad. My bad what?
I see. Well, tell me something, ma'am.
I am loving this. This weekend on Saturdays and Sundays.
You do love the coverage. Which team do you support?
I told you my father was a Spartan man.
A Spartan man.
So I support Spartan.
Okay.
And let me tell you another thing. Bennett Rebecca, I am a United Manchester United.
Oh, you like Manchester United? So you like Philo Wallace?
I love sports on the
phone. Philo Wallace is a Manchester United man.
Yes.
Mm.
But let me tell you, that weekend where we're resting, they would do them thing. Money got their head going back. But you see that little weekend, but everybody.
You like it, huh?
Growing up with Shell Harris.
Shell Harris, yes, of course. And the old time days, Shell Harris would do the commentary.
Listen, let me too. When a certain time, don't worry to ring my phone because I listen.
You listen to the cricket, yes.
So keep up the good work.
All right.
And I love this. And you have all the best for the
holidays. Thank you very much indeed. Merry Christmas to you, my darling.
Yes, you take care.
All right, let's take another call, can we? We can. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Hi, good evening, sir.
How are you, man? When you call this program, you know, the ratings go up, you know?
Right up.
Right up to the top.
I told you that I have a sense of humor. That's the only thing I say now. I don't like when Andrew Mason gangs up with husband.
Yes, how are you, my friend? Happy Christmas. Do you celebrate Christmas, by the way? Because sometimes I wonder.
Well, thank you for your kind words. Actually, I do not celebrate Christmas,
but I
will take the opportunity.
You don't.
To offer my best regards to you and your family for all 366 days of the year.
Okay. So why don't you celebrate Christmas, sir?
Well, that would be a very long discussion.
Okay, but just do it in 30 seconds.
Well, I prefer to focus on what I call...
Okay, fair enough. So what do you have to share with us, sir? The man who doesn't celebrate Christmas.
On the age issue, right?
Yes.
I was told age is irrelevant as long as you can perform.
Right.
My wife told me that.
So your wife?
Told me that age is irrelevant as long as you can perform.
But what she's talking about. When did she tell you that? Recently? She told you that recently, sir?
Good shot, Andrew.
And you can grill her on that.
I still require an answer. I still want an answer, sir.
I'm responding. I'm thinking as soon as I hang up, I'm going to instruct.
Yes.
Call and speak to you.
Okay.
And you can answer for the final.
I certainly will make that call at 8:01.
So I hope that. You better not call that, sorry.
Yes, talk to me.
Anyway, I hope that poor Barbara isn't subjected ostensibly to other criteria, right? No, Mr. Ken Husband referred to you rightly as being harmless.
Mm.
I have to agree with Ken. In other words, what he's saying, right? very diplomatically is that Andrew has bare mouth, but he has legs.
I like that one. I like that one.
You go, though, I must say that I was impressed with Dr. Ford's debating skills. Perhaps he should have studied law. I like the way he represented himself.
Mm. Against a budding lawyer in Barry.
Against Russell.
Yes.
And finally, our team, I was definitely quite pleased and encouraged when we managed to win the first two 2020 matches against T20 matches against England.
Mm.
But I always, somewhere in the back of my mind, you know, there's that kind of timidity, that kind of lack of confidence.
Mm.
And after losing that match, I mean, when I think the requirement was over 20 runs in the final over, right now I just don't know. Except, I understand that our team is actually sponsored by a heart specialist.
Mm.
And we always find a way of making sure that we send persons to, you know?
Yes. It's an inconsistent side. It's an inconsistent side, Carl. I mean, and you know, we would have, you know, brilliance, but generally, you know, it's very inconsistent, really.
Right, that is true.
Too inconsistent.
On that, seriously, is that I still think it speaks to the quality of character of your personnel, and I think we, as a reason, need to bear that in mind that as we look to develop ourselves, our games, and other aspects of our.
Right. All right. Well, thanks for your contribution, and certainly it is welcome. Let's go back to you, Basil. Overall, the West Indies team this year, were you happy with the general performances? Or you've got your concerns?
Mixed bag.
I think
it's a mixed bag. And I'll say this, I just like you said earlier, I no longer get too much heartache.
No.
And overstressed with West Indies performances, because I realized that a while ago that's not going to be good for my health. My expectations are no longer what it used to be.
That's true.
I'm happy when they win. They lose. Oh, well, they lost. You know what I mean? But I'm happy when they win. So, and it was a mixed bag, as you had asked me earlier to look at the performances, and you could see as the games got shorter, the formats got shorter,
right,
we did better.
Right.
You know, we won one test match out of the six we played this year. Then we won 10 of the ODIs to 7 loss. But then it's a little skewed with the ODIs because we played a bunch of associate
nations. That's true.
This year. It's a little skewed there, and in the T20, similarly, we got a better record in the T20, which has been the trend in West Indies cricket for a long time. The shorter format, we do the best. The longer the game is played, we do the worst. So this year, you know, Philo was box office. That day when the new coach was appointed, challenged the president.
Yes.
I think, Andrew, that is a clip you should put for the archive.
I think so, too.
Put it out.
Yes.
For the highlights of the season, because I thought that was the greatest.
I thought so, too. How can you have a coach that's not qualified? No, it was absolutely brilliant. In fact, when I reflect on Mason and Guest, I think that was the highlight, really. The man in which Philo Wallace.
Yes, I mean, it was box office.
Yes.
And I think it's interesting because when we look at the past year, this president is in now, the new president, and unfortunately, the thing that has not changed is the lack of communication.
Right.
I call him Philo again because Philo is always hammering on this point. The DOC come in. What is the vision? We get a small snippet in a press conference where the press did not press them enough. As far as I'm concerned, for us to really get a grasp, right? And then I heard, as and when I was on here, I talked about the
they mentioned going to around the Caribbean.
Mm.
And I saw in one of the Guyanese newspapers when they went to Guyana, and all they did was meet with some of the administrators of the Guyana board and went to visit some facilities. For me, that was, to me, that is not enough. I wanted them to actually see the players practicing, the coaches doing what they're doing, the condition is adequate enough for us to develop good players coming through.
All right. We're going to take a final commercial break.
I just want to say this. I forgot. Excuse my manners. I would like to wish all your listeners and so on season greetings.
All right. No problem at all. Let's take our final commercial break. Stay with us. Mason and Guest brought to an association with our very good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it down, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell the bartender ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
ESA feel white rum. The best shot of the day.
That big booming voice. Okay, the Empire side are winning the championship. Congratulations to them. And a very important cog in their wheel, Shaquille Cumberbatch, joins us for a couple of minutes. I know he's a very busy man. Hello, Shaquille. How are you?
Hello, Gunny. Yes, and I'm fine.
You're good. All right. You're celebrating. You must be a very happy man with Empire's success.
Yeah, very happy.
All right. Now, tell me, why do you think Empire won the championship this year, Shaquille? Yes, indeed. Yes, and of course, that big game, the last game you played against YMPC, it was a bit difficult. They made 225. Then you were 137 for 7. You made 60 odd not out. That must have been one of the most important innings you've played in your career. Shaquille?
Not one of the most important innings I have played in my career so far.
Yes, indeed. And then you bowl very well, restricting YMPC to 98. You got some big snappers. I think you got Dwayne Smith out as well.
Yeah.
And who else? And Smith boys you got out, huh?
Yeah. Dwayne Smith, Kimar Smith, Ramon Simmons, and Gary Austin.
So you got some wickets there. So you are very happy with the Empire's success, huh?
Yes, I am.
Just before you go, and your reward, you've been playing for 10 years now with them. You had a short trip to Bermuda with the Barbados team, so they recognize you.
Yeah, yeah.
Indeed. How did that trip go to Bermuda? What it went well?
Yeah, it was a good trip.
Mm-hmm.
Better, but...
It could be better, yes. Yeah. And of course, you were involved, your groomsman at the Regent's Mecca, Kensington. Are you enjoying the stint as being a groomsman there?
Yeah. I sign, I love.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy doing it.
Mm-hmm. I see. I saw you recently. You look a little fitter because a little bit early you seem to, you know, put on a bit of weight. But in recent times, you've lost some. Are you training with Dr. Ford?
I would say with Dr. Ford, but it's something that I make up in my mind that, you know, if you want to go forward in cricket,
right,
I'll be fitter. And I was told that a lot last year. So
yeah, you look fitter. You look fitter, and you're an underrated cricketer. And I want to thank you very much for coming on, Mason and Guest, because we thought it was important tonight to identify someone from the Bank Hall Club. And I actually spoke to Kamari Boyce today, and they selected you to come on the show. You've been a wonderful performer for them, and we wish you well going forward, Shaquille Cumberbatch. And of course, before you go, you want to say Merry Christmas to your Empire friends and to Dr. Ford and to Basil Butch, who doesn't celebrate Christmas, and Philo Wallace and the Hamless Andrew Mason.
Yeah. Happy Christmas to everyone.
All right. Have a good night. Gentlemen, we got another 4 minutes left in the show. I think there's a show. Oh, my good friend is saying there are 3 minutes left in the show. Now, Philo, let me come back to you. We it's 2-2 now, fellow. The next game is on Thursday, 4 o'clock at Turuba, the Brian Lara Stadium. Based on what you've seen, what is your gut feeling? Look into your crystal ball, fellow. Look into your crystal ball.
My gut feeling is saying that England will win this T20 series.
Oh, my golly.
Because we've made some changes. And when you look at it, there's some problems in the T20 squad. Our bowling is not living up to the expectations from the first and second game. We're falling apart in our bowling department. And then today, our batsmen just went helter-skelter, looking to get up to the total. But not doing it in a real professional manner. Doing it, in the old backyard way, which is not really international cricket. But again, if you don't have the quality within the backroom staff to really present how to chase down big targets, then we're going to find ourselves shooting at rocks. And we need to be very careful. Mm-hmm. It's a World Cup coming, Andrew. If we all want West Indies to win the series against England to give us momentum.
Right.
But when you look at it, England has the momentum going forward.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, fellow.
In the second year, in the 40-20, and I would expect England to be the 3-2. If West Indies win, congratulations. If England win, it'd be good for them. But we are not.
So, but your prediction, based on momentum, you think England will win?
I think England will win. I think England will beat us 3-2.
All right. We got another minute and a half left on the show. Basil Butcher, look into your crystal ball. Tell me.
Before the series started, I had predicted we would win 3-2.
Okay.
But having watched the last two games, the momentum is definitely in England's corner. So I got to agree with Philo that England got nudge ahead and win the series 3-2.
All right. Dr. Ford, final word with you. What do you think, Doc?
Yeah, it's a 50-50 thing, Andrew. I mean, this T20 is just about batting. I mean, if you bat well, you can win. And we have batted well on occasion, but I do agree that England is in the ascendancy and has the momentum. So, and they have the experience. They have a team that's with a bit more pedigree. So they have the edge, but any team can win. It's a lottery.
It's a lottery. I agree with that. Well, we want to thank you, of course, Basil Butcher Jr., for coming through. I know you're going to go back to Ghana and Burmese and spend a good Christmas. Philo is already spending Christmas. You're going to take me to that shop there in, is it Orange Hill? We were there a couple of years ago. And we really would want to go back there again. Thanks to you, Dr. Ford, for coming through and being very much a part of Mason and Guest. And to the West Indies team, the game, of course, is on Thursday, starting at 4 o'clock. And we wish the West Indies well. If you wish for success, then keep on scratching. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a bye tomorrow. Just good night.